The number of people who have contracted diseases from ticks, mosquitoes, and flea bites has been steadily on the rise in recent years. That's according to a new report from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The CDC says that since 2004, the agency has seen a number of new or uncommon illnesses showing up in the United States. Our next guest is an expert in tick and mosquito-borne illnesses. Lyric Bartholomew is an associate professor in the Department of Pathobiological Sciences in the School of Veterinary Medicine at UW-Madison. Lyric, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
So these numbers out from CDC, I'm guessing not a big surprise to you?
That's right. Yeah, it was. But it was great to get that acknowledgement that this is a real issue and it's on the rise.
And what kind of numbers, what kind of things are we seeing nationwide, first of all?
Yeah, so I think one of the most visible ones that people know really well is that Zika hit the United States a couple of years ago, and that made a big splash and put this on the radar for a lot of people. And here in Wisconsin, another one that people are very familiar with is Lyme disease. We have a lot of Lyme disease here in Wisconsin.
Let's look at each of those in turn. Let's start with Lyme, because that's the biggest factor,
sure.
I think, here in the state. People have been hearing about it, worrying about it, getting it for a while now. Are we seeing the kinds of ticks that carry Lyme disease getting into more and more new areas? And are we seeing Lyme infections carried by those ticks on the rise as well?
Yeah, I think both of those things are definitely happening. So if you were to look at where ticks were 20 years ago, it would have been much more focal in the western part of the state. And over the years, we've watched them progressively move farther and farther eastward in the state of Wisconsin. And as they creep across, the numbers of them that are infected is probably on the rise too.
And what is leading to their spread? Is it just ticks move, or are there climate issues, weather issues, human transportation issues that are letting them spread further and further?
Yeah, all of those things may play in. I mean, ticks can't go very far on their own, right? So they really rely on other hosts to carry them around, and white-tailed deer are one of their really important hosts that expand their range. Also, we're seeing, you know, as people are valuing outdoor spaces and natural spaces, that ticks can really readily move into places where there's just a few trees. And so if a deer moves there and the tick drops off, then the tick gets to a new spot.
Right. I think in the past we thought of Lyme disease and deer ticks as when you go into the woods, you got to watch out for this. Now, it seems like more and more we're hearing when you go to that edge of your yard.
That's exactly right. And that's what we're seeing when we're out there looking for ticks out in various parts of Wisconsin, too, that they really are showing up in people's backyards. We used to think of that as sort of an East Coast phenomenon, but it's happening right here now, too.
If I did your job and thought about this all the time, I would worry that I would just kind of lock myself in a vault and never get outside. I'm assuming you haven't, because of your job, you can't do that. What kind of precautions do you take when you go out into either the wild or even on that edge of the yard?
Yeah, I love being outdoors, and there's so much value, as we know, in being out in open spaces. Right now, I'm really excited about going morel hunting this weekend. I wouldn't miss it. And so to keep myself safe, I use like an insect repellent and spray down the legs of my pants. Sometimes I'll tuck my pants into my socks and roll like that, as unfashionable as it seems. but my primary approach is to make sure and do tick checks when I get in. And another solid recommendation is that when you come in from a forested place or even your backyard, as we've just discussed, you could take a shower. And if a tick is just crawling around on you, a shower alone will probably wash a tick that's looking for a place to land off of your body. So you know, just cleaning up and then watching for ticks is my way.
And people have been talking about this for a long time. I'm still never quite clear. And I think in the moment I might panic. What is the best way to remove a tick that we find that's attached to
us? Yeah, thank you for asking. It's such an important thing, because people will use all kinds of wild folk remedies to get ticks off of them. And the tried and true best way to do it is just get a pointy tweezers, grab the tick by its sort of face right where it's touching your skin, and slowly and deliberately pull it out.
Now, Lyme disease, bad enough in and of itself. I keep seeing news about different diseases being carried, sometimes by the same kind of ticks, sometimes I think by different ticks.
Yeah, and so there's been some really great work done on this campus by Dr. Susan Paskowitz and some collaborators at Mayo Clinic and other institutions, showing that the ticks have some interesting new pathogens that are a lot like the pathogen that causes Lyme disease. So we found two of those. We see another type of tick-borne disease called anaplasmosis on the rise. otherwise as well. And so we are one of those states that manifests what the CDC was saying, and that there are a whole bunch of new pathogens being transmitted by these vectors.
I think people have heard a lot about Lyme disease. They now watch for the bullseye thing and some of the other symptoms. What kind of weird symptoms might be a sign, again, if we've known we've had a tick mm-hmm. contact or a possible one, what mm-hmm. kind of signs are like, get to that doctor now?
Yeah, I think if you're showing signs of having, you know, a really terrible, strange midsummer fever and headache, those things that we often get when we have a bacterial infection, and you know that perhaps you've been out and in places where there might be ticks, it's not a bad idea. We've also just recently started a service here at the UW where people could send us a tick. So if you've encountered a tick, we can let you know what kind of tick you've come into contact with. And that way you have some sense of what that risk might be. So if it's one of those ticks that transmits one of those pathogens and it's been on you for a while, so it's full of blood, that increases your risk.
Lyric Bartholomew is with us from UW-Madison talking about the diseases carried by ticks and mosquitoes. Let's spend a little time about mosquitoes. Yeah. Let me see if I have this right. I think there's a bad news, good news story. We're going to get mosquito bites living in Wisconsin. Good news, it doesn't seem like they're as prone to carry disease at this stage in Wisconsin history. Is that right?
So I think one thing that's probably less obvious and maybe not as many people have heard about it is that we continue to have an issue with West Nile virus in the state of Wisconsin. And last year we had a pretty extraordinary number of cases of some other types of mosquito-borne illness. And so I'm glad you asked, because there's some really important ones for people to know about. One of the mosquito-borne diseases we saw last year was a disease called Eastern Equine Encephalitis. That one infects horses and can also infect people, and it's really awful for elderly people in particular. And so that's we saw a number of cases in horses with that virus last year. We saw a number of cases of a sort of reemerging virus called Jamestown Canyon. And we still have a threat of a virus called La Crosse over on the western part of the state, in particular, a virus that impacts small children.
How common are those?
So last year, for example, it looks like the number of people that may have contracted and gotten really sick from Jamestown Canyon virus was around 50. And so the number of people is distressing, but really for those families, it's really hard because sometimes those diseases make people sick really for a long time.
Now, Zika, as you mentioned, that's one people have heard of. It was mm-hmm. in the headlines. The kind of mosquito that can carry Zika, it's a particular kind of mosquito, and yes, sometimes they've been spotted here in the state.
Yeah, so I should say that the CDC granted us here at the University of Wisconsin a Center of Excellence Award for vector-borne diseases. So we're one of five regional centers across the U.S. That's working with the CDC to try and understand vector-borne diseases and control them. And as a result...
Vector-borne meaning carried by other critters.
Right, thank you. So carried by some kind of bloodsucker, like a mosquito or a tick or a flea, as you mentioned. And so we had opportunity last year to, in a really concerted way, look for one of the mosquitoes that might be involved in transmission of Zika. And we found it for the first time in the state of Wisconsin and in some of the other partnering states that are involved in our Center of Excellence. But, you know, so that's something that we're keenly aware of and we're watching.
Okay, now my paranoia is going up again because it's hard to live in Wisconsin and not get any mosquito bites. I mean, we can spray up when we know we're going to be outside for a while, mm-hmm. but unless we're spraying up every time we go out to, I don't know, get the mail, we're going to get some bites.
We're going to get bites. I think it's still worth it to be outside, absolutely. And you can do some things in your own home to at least potentially reduce the number of mosquitoes you're contributing to the environment. So at your own home, I'd like for you to please go and empty any standing water. Maybe go clean out your gutters and have some control over it that way. I think knowledge is power, right? And so as long as you know about these things and you're taking proper precautions, absolutely be out there recreating.
Are there diseases or vectors, disease carriers, that maybe aren't so much here yet, but they're on your radar? You're watching for them showing up in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and so the one that you mentioned, the one that could be involved in transmitting Zika, Aedes albopictus, we're keenly aware of that one coming into the state and trying to actually prevent it from being established, asking questions about whether it will establish or not. We're also looking at this tick, Amblyomma americanum, the Lone Star tick. That one has progressively creeped northward, and we're starting to see that one in Wisconsin, too.
How does one stop a strain of mosquitoes from migrating into the state?
Yeah, good question. I think what we're seeing is that there could be kind of point sources that are associated with bringing those kinds of mosquitoes in. So if people transport water-containing things, even pots from one state to another that contain those mosquitoes. So watching for those point sources and controlling them as soon as we can.
And briefly, how are you monitoring? How do you monitor for a kind of mosquito or a kind of tick?
Yeah, thanks for asking that too. That's fun. So we have some really simple ways to look for like the mosquito that the Aedes albopictus, the Asian tiger mosquito. We put out a black plastic cup like you might get at the stadium. And we put a tongue depressor inside it with some water. And the mosquitoes are really attracted to water in a black cup. And they'll come and lay their eggs on the tongue depressor, send it back to me and Dr. Paskowitz's lab. And we can grow them up and see what's there.
High technology mosquito capture devices.
Absolutely.
Lyric, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Lyric Bartholomew is an associate professor in the Department of Pathobiological Sciences in the School of Veterinary Medicine at UW-Madison. Been talking about the growing number of tick and mosquito-borne illnesses in the United States and how they're showing up and being tracked here in Wisconsin.